just starts talking about what's going to be in that city, what's going to be in heaven, and what's going to come out of it tonight. And I want to show you tonight in Revelation chapter number 22, verse 1 through 9 tonight, that God is life. Did y'all know that tonight? God is life. If you're born again tonight and the Holy Ghost is pumping inside your body tonight, I'm talking about born again, washing the blood of Jesus. If he's pumping inside of you tonight, you're not dead, but you're alive. And there's no need of acting like we're dead, but we're alive and we're well tonight. And I thank God for that, don't you? Revelation 22 and verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. And the Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the light God giveth them, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. The Bible says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. I thank you for all the prayer requests that was mentioned tonight. Lord, I lift them up to you tonight, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you be with each and every one that was mentioned, each and every one that was lifted up tonight. Lord, I pray for our soldiers. As Sister Lori lifted that up tonight, Father, I pray that you touch. Lord, I pray that you touch our men ministry. I pray you continue to touch our women ministry. I pray you touch our youth ministry. Lord, I pray you touch everything about this church, the King's kids. Lord, I pray you continue to grow us in the way you'd have us to grow. Lord, I pray we grow in spirit in this place, Father. Lord, I pray you move in a mighty way. Lord, I thank you for the book of Revelation tonight. I thank you tonight that you're a light and there's no darkness in you tonight. I thank you that you're life tonight. And Father, when we get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, that life that you have comes inside of us. And Lord, I pray tonight that you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything that I say tonight be all about you and not one thing about me. Lord, I pray tonight for Brother Eric's dad. Lord, I lift him up to you and their family. Lord, I pray you touch them in a mighty way. Lord, each and every one that's been in the hurricane path there, all them victims, Lord, I pray you'd help them, help their families. As Sister Hush said, that Father, tonight they not recover bodies, but they find rescuers, people they can rescue, people that are still alive, people that are still hanging on tonight, Father. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, we're going to look at God is life tonight. As you come from in chapter number 22, verse 1 through 9 tonight, we see that there is life and life is only found in God Almighty. In Genesis chapter number 2, if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you'll find out that God is life. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Do you know tonight, if he had just formed man, that's all that would be. All man would just be dust. He would just be formed of the ground of this earth. But tonight, can I say to you that God himself breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. Tonight, even though man failed in the garden, you know in the garden, man failed in the garden. He took of the forbidden fruit and he failed in the garden. He listened to Satan and he failed. The woman failed. The man failed. They failed in the garden. Even though man failed in the garden, God still protected him by not allowing him to eat of the tree of life. Tonight, I want to say to you, even though you and I fail in the life that we're in, God still protects us every day of our life. God is life, and in him is no darkness at all. So let's look tonight at the life that will be in heaven. There is some things that's going to be in heaven that is life tonight. And number one, I seen in verse number one, I see the river, the water of life tonight. It is in heaven. It is a river. The Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river. I'm talking about crystal clear river. I'm talking about a pure river, a river that's the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You say, preacher, what kind of river of water of life is this tonight? Can I say to you that it is fresh water? There is no pollution in it. It's clear. It's clean. It's never been polluted. It's never had anything in it tonight. It flows just as clear as you can. Tonight, I see it as a fresh water. I see it's flowing water. Tonight, it flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb tonight. It is this water of life tonight. It's the water that flows freely. And tonight, you say, preacher, have I ever took of the water of life? If you've been born again, you've took of the water of life. Can I get an amen? Hey, do you remember how thirsty you was and how you just needed a drink? You needed a drink of living water. You needed a drink that only God can give. And He reached down and He touched your weary soul and He gave you that water of life. He quenched that thirst. No longer do you look to the things of this world. Hey, but you look to God and He meets the needs of your life. Do you remember that fresh water and how it flows? But He told that woman at the well, He told her it was a fountain of water tonight. And what blows my mind, millions and billions of people, hey, can drink from this well, and it never gets limitless. It never runs out. It never gets down to the point that a pump's got to kick on to make it pump. Hey, can I say to you tonight, it doesn't need rain tonight to fill it up. It's always full, no matter who drinks from it tonight. It is a water supply tonight for those that are thirsty. He said it was a fountain of water that never runs dry. In John 4:14, here's what John said. John said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, I can give you something that you'll never thirst again. He said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That water that's inside of you tonight, that water that's on the inside of you tonight, that living water tonight, I ask you tonight, when was the last time that you knew it was just sloshing on the inside? I'm talking about your filled up to the brim. You're filled up to the top, and God's poured that water in you tonight. You said, preacher, what will it do? It'll take care of a thirsty soul. Amen. I see it's a river, a water of life in verse number 1. But I want you to move on with me here from the river of the water of life to the tree of life that's there. There are some things that's going to be in heaven that's going to live forever. Amen. And tonight, one of them is that water of life. It's going to be there, and it's going to be there forever. But look in verse number 2. As I study this and I see this in the Bible, I see the river that's the water of life, but I also see the tree of life. And that tree of life in verse number 2, here's what it said. And a lot of people think that Adam and Eve partook of the tree of life. Friends, they did not partake of the tree of life. They partook of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge that they had. They didn't even know they were naked till they ate of that tree. He didn't know Eve was naked. Eve didn't know Adam was naked until they partook of that fruit, that forbidden fruit, and it was not the tree of life. If they had partook of the tree of life, they could have never been saved. They could have never been born again. It would have been over with. They'd have lived forever in that sinful state. Hey, but can I say to you tonight, we got a Savior that died on a tree, amen? And I want you to know tonight, that's how we have redemption, through the blood of Jesus. I see in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life. He said, it is the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits. I see this tree of life. What does it do? It produces fruit monthly. The Bible says monthly it produces fruit. Do you know tonight that you'll be able to eat of that fruit freely then? There'll be no curse there. There'll be none of that there. You'll be able to eat of it freely, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. I see it produces fruit monthly. For 12, every month it's going to produce its fruit. But I see not only does it produce fruit, but it provides healing. This tree of life doesn't only produce fruit, but it provides that healing for the nations. Friends, can I say to you tonight how important the tree of life is, that God has guarded it. He put the cherubims there. He protected that tree. He did not want man to partake of that tree of life because He wanted them to have hope. He wanted them to have salvation. He wanted them to be reunited to Him, that their spirit be bought back by the blood of Jesus. And tonight you say, preacher, what do you mean? It produces fruit, it provides healing, and it gives, finally in life, it gives us the privilege to eat of the tree. Finally, you're going to have a privilege to eat of that tree. What was forbidden in Genesis is you're going to be able to partake of in Revelation. all the way through, folks. Tonight, you have a privilege. When we get to heaven, you're going to have a privilege to eat of the tree. Why? Because in verse number 3, it said there'll be no more curse. No more curse. No more sin. No more pain. No more cancer. No more suffering. No more dying. No more crying. Not anything you can think of tonight that's a curse tonight that destroys you, that tries to kill you, will not be in heaven. That's enough to get me excited. I see it produces fruit monthly. It provides healing. But you also get a privilege to eat of the tree because there's no more curse. You said, preacher, what happened? They were cursed because they disobeyed God. I wrote it down for you here in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 22. Here's what happened. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. He ate of the wrong tree. He said they know good and evil. They don't know too much. Have you ever seen somebody that knows too much? They don't know too much. You take a man that knows it all, it's hard for him to be saved. You take a know-it-all, it's hard for him to be saved. Friends, tonight we must know that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. If a man doesn't know he's a sinner, he cannot be saved. You've got to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. He said, if I don't do something, they're going to eat of this tree. Why? Because men disobey. When you disobey, you're going to disobey again. That's just our nature tonight, to not obey, but disobey. That's our nature tonight. And if you don't believe me, you put a sign up saying, don't do this, and people are going to want to do it. Our nature is to disobey. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. Who did he send forth from the Garden of Eden? He sent Adam and Eve. He sent them forth. He run them out. He pushed them out. They couldn't stay there no longer. They couldn't stay there no longer. Can I say to you tonight, what they lost in paradise in Eden, we're going to have in paradise again one day. Amen. We're going to be at the whole glory tonight. We're going to be at that river. We're going to see that tree. And we're going to be able to partake of it tonight. He wants you to think about that tonight. What they lost, Jesus gained back for us. We ain't, man, I'll tell you, this fires me up tonight to think about that. And therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Let me give you this tonight. The curse. So what did they do? Did they just get where they couldn't take of the tree? Or did he curse them? Here was the curse that was put on them. Okay? For a woman, here's her curse. Sister Molly, you're gonna get this. Sister Kinsey, you're going to get this. This is a curse. Women's going to get this. The woman's curse is that they're going to have pain in childbirth. That was the curse the woman got. They're going to have pain in childbirth. Keep reading Genesis chapter number 3 and you'll see what I'm saying. Woman's going to have pain in childbirth. Why do they give epidurals? You got a few now. You got a few that's tough. And they refuse it. And halfway through it, I've heard. Now, when my wife had Ryder, I was in pretty good bit of pain, but not like her. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Talk to me. So the woman, the curse is she has pain during childbirth. That's, read your Bible, Genesis 3. Pain during childbirth, that's why they give the epidural. So she don't have the pain. She don't feel the pain. Why? They're trying to get her out of that pain to make it as comfortable as it can. That's the curse. Man's curse is this. Man's curse is this. He would have never sweated, Brother Kevin. You sweat at work, correct? He would have never sweated in the Garden of Eden if he had not have sinned. Because he sinned, he said, you're going to have to get it by the sweat of your brow. And that's why every time you got sweat running down your brow, it's because of the sin that was in the Garden of Eden, and that is the curse that is on man. When you work, you sweat. When you work, you sweat. You sweat. You sweat. You sweat. And what do you sweat out of you, Brother Eric? You sweat pulls in. You sweat all that out of you. And you say, well, Jesus sweat. Jesus never sweat. Never sweat. You say, oh, what about Garden of Gethsemane? He said his sweat was as blood, not sweat. He never sweat out of his sweat glands. Why? Because he had no sin. There was no sin in him. He came, took all of our sin upon him. He took all of our sin, but he was not a sinner. He took all of our sin upon him, but he was not a sinner. Why? Because he never sinned. He took the curse upon him, hung upon the tree. So when you go reading this in the book of Revelation, you understand it more clearly to understand what's been bought back, why it's like it is, why that river is so important, why that tree of life is so important. Why? Because that pain that happened so many years ago, we're still dealing with it today. If you sweat too much, what happens? You cramp up. You get sore. Anybody ever just dehydrated from sweating too much? Get your hand up. Yeah. How do you feel when you sweat out? You feel like not good. Not good. Why? Because you're losing what's inside of you. Tonight, can I say to you this? He said this is what happened when they disobeyed. Number one, the woman gets pain during childbirth. And number two, the man's going to get it by the sweat of his brow. Tonight, can I say to you this? That there is tonight a cure and a remedy for all of that, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this on the paper here. I'm going to show you this on as we go on down through here through the book of Revelation. But he says this tonight in verse number 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned everybody away to keep the way of the tree of life. Revelation 2:7, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So he said, those who overcome, how are we an overcomer? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Revelation 12:11. So that's how we're an overcomer, by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you will one day be able to partake of the tree of life. Let me give you something else that's there. Not only do I see tonight that river, water of life. Not only do I see the tree of life, but in this text, in verse number 6, I see the word of life. There's a lady that sings a song, Come Jesus Come. Y'all know that song? Come Jesus Come. And she's coming out of Revelation 22, by the way. And there's a part in there, and she said, until we see you face to face in that song. Look with me in verse number 6. In verse number 4, what does it say? They shall see his face. That's where she come in Revelation 22, and that song, Come Jesus Come. He says, you're going to one day see him face to face. So I see the word of life is there in verse number 6, if you will. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants these things which must shortly be done. I see that word of God tonight, the word of life, is a visible word. It's face to face. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. I'm going to tell you tonight, this Bible is visible. You see God face to face. How do I see him face to face? I look over here at Kyler and look at Mason, look at Kaylee, look across this room and see Miss Judy. I look, these on the front pew. I see God all in them, sticking out of them. When you put this word in, this is God. This is the him. This is the word. When you put this inside, here's what he showed me. And you got to go, just follow me for a minute. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow my mind when we get to heaven. And we say, God, I wish you'd have showed yourself so clearly to me. And he's going to say, you had me in your hands the whole time. You wanted to see more of me? That's all you can say. Face to face. If you're in here tonight and you ain't been face to face with God in a long time, get in your Bible and you'll get face to face with him. You say, oh, I'm going to get, no. Listen to me now. You ain't going to get it no other way. That's his word. That's it. That's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And that's why people are against it so bad. That's why they're trying to destroy it. That's why they're trying to distort it. That's why they're trying to get rid of it. That's why they're trying to write different versions. Why? Because they don't want you to get it. Why? Because this is your lifeline. This is how you see God face to face. You want to be more like God, get more in his book. You give me a person that's born again, washing the blood of Jesus, and there's no doubt they're saved, but they ain't in this book. They're not going to look a whole lot like Jesus. You give me somebody born again, washing the blood, they don't got to know nothing about this book. All they got to do is read it, and he'll stick out in their life like you ain't never seen before. Why? Because it's visible. What you do with this book will show up in your life. It's visible. It sticks out. You want more of God, get more of his book. The word of life. Let me move on. It's a visible word. I see that tonight. I see it face to face. Can I say to you tonight, it's a dependable word. Not only is it visible, but it's dependable tonight. You can count on anything in this book. Anything. It doesn't matter what it says, it's true. Matthew 24:35, I want you to get this. Heaven and earth shall pass away. It's going to happen. That's what he said. But my words shall not pass away. So why would I be pumping into this world so much when it's going to pass away anyway? There's some things that's going to last forever, and people's souls is one of them. Your soul is going to last forever, either in heaven or hell, wherever. But it's going to last forever. The word of God is going to last forever, ever. I see the word of life as a visible word. I see it's a dependable word. But I also see it's a kept word. It's a word that must be kept. What you do with the book will determine what God does with you. What you do with the book will determine what God does with you. You say, preacher, are you sure about that tonight? I'm positive tonight. I'm positive tonight. What I do with this book will determine what God does with me. You said, are you sure? Yes, I am. Look in verse 19 of your text in Revelation 22. The Bible says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. So I see it as a kept book. Look what he says here, verse number 6. And he said unto thee, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants these things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. You notice it's in red. Here's your last point right here. Behold, I come quickly. Who's coming? Jesus is coming. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he who keeps. You keep it. There's some things you've got at your home as a keepsake. From somebody that you love that may have passed. Somebody you may have thought a lot of. It's got no price tag on it, does it? Somebody could walk up, you've lost a loved one. Somebody could walk up and, man, it's not for sale. There's some things not for sale. Would y'all agree? There's some things that's just not for sale. It may be as little as a pocket knife. It may be something so simple, so little, but it's just not for sale. Can I say to you tonight, you ought not have nothing in your life that's no more special than the Word of God. It's not for sale. Can't have it. I pray you've got a Bible that's yours. I pray that you've got a Bible that if you was out somewhere and somebody needed a Bible, you say, I can't give you this one though. Huh? Oh yeah. I hope you got one you're in love with that one. There's thousands, millions of copies, billions of copies. But I hope you got one that's yours. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about one that is yours. That when you pick it up, you just turn right to wherever you need. It's just yours. It's special to you. It's yours. Because it's the Word of God and it's special to you. Let me show you this, the keeping in verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What does that word keep mean? It means to hold the word. You hold on to it. You don't let go. You retain it. What you read, you retain it. You bring it in. Not only does that word keepeth mean hold and retain, but you obey it. You obey the word because you received the word. The only way to keep it is to receive it. John 6:68, this is what Peter said. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Folks, where can you go? Where can I go but to the Lord? Where can you go? He has it all in heaven waiting on you and he's waiting on me. He has the water of life freely. If you're saved in here, you've drunk of it. The tree of life, eternal life. You've received that tree. So what? Oh man, listen to me tonight. When Jesus died on that cross, he paid it all. All to him I owe. And in that word, he sent it back to us and gave it to us and said, here it is. If you notice at the bottom, I come through on 19 the other day by Brother Les and Sister Christie's. I love reading church signs. That's something I do. Sometimes I put them in my notes on my phone. And at Barnesville, up there above y'all's house where your mama's funeral was. Up there at Barnesville, you know what I'm talking about. On the end of the road, the Free Will Baptist. It says, N-O, no, N-O, okay? You see it on your paper there. No, N-O, no God. That means you ain't got him. No life. That's what's on the sign. And then right up underneath it, it says, no, K-N-O-W, no God, no life. Tonight, I didn't have to explain this to you. If you know God, you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, and you don't have God, you know what I'm talking about. Tonight, that water flows so freely tonight. And he blesses you, and he blesses me, and he blesses us all the days of our lives. You know, strong men die. Strong women die. Young men die. Young women die. Successful men die. Successful women die. We're all going to die one day. And the most important thing in your life is just to know God, to have a relationship with Him. I thank God for David Barnes' relationship with God. I do. I thank God that you know Him. But I can't run on His. I can't run on His testimony. He's got a good testimony with his legs and what God's done, how He's great testimony. And I can tell His testimony. And it does me good for a little bit. But your testimony don't do, boy, when I start telling my own, can I get it? It starts coming alive. Why? Because that water gets to bubbling on the inside. Here's my challenge to you this week. Just tell somebody God is life. There's no darkness in Him. There's none but life. He's the light of the world. In Him is no darkness. As we're finishing up Revelation 22, He's going to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. I don't know about you, but that's my prayer as well. Just come on. When that last Gentile gets saved, He's coming. He's busting it. He's coming. I don't know who that is. I don't know who we're waiting on or who He's waiting on, but I know this. And I'm taking that flight out. I'm going out of here. Because the blood of the Lamb, Brother Les. What He's done in my life. I don't need no preacher to convince me that God's real. I know He's real. Why? Because He beats on the inside of me each and every day of my life. Pray you have a good week. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love You and I thank You for this night. I thank You for the things that's alive and well. Father, tonight I know tonight what You set in heaven, You set forth. And Lord, You're just waiting on us to get there, and I thank You for that. Lord, around this room tonight, there's people that's lost loved ones. There's people in the process of losing loved ones. And Lord, tonight, if they're born again, washed in the blood, what a blessing that's going to be when they cross over. There's not a person in this room, Father, unless You come back and rapture the church out, we're all going to go that way. And the main thing and the important thing is that we know You, that You're the light and the life of our life. Father, I love You and I praise Your holy name. Bless Your people tonight in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. Love on somebody.